And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Awakening on American Family Radio. This is the podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Really appreciate you. I want to remind you this posts every single Wednesday. So please make sure to go to AFR.net and check it out. And this can be seen wherever podcasts are seen and heard, for the most part. And again, as always, thank you all for your support, your prayers, your encouragement, your contributions, everything that goes into making this network possible. God bless you for it. I want to remind you that on Tuesday, May 12th at 7 p.m. At the Tyson's Corner Marriott in Tyson's, Virginia, we will be hosting our annual Stand Awards Dinner, honoring some great patriots. Marjorie Dannenfelser, who is the president of the Susan B. Anthony List, Bishop Patrick L. Wooten, who is a great man of God, jurisdictional bishop, pastor of Upper Room Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're also honoring Richard Viguerie, who is one of the premier leaders for the modern conservative movement and founders for the modern conservative movement, 92 years old and still going strong. And finally, we are giving the posthumous award. The award is the George Washington Award for taking a stand. We're giving a posthumous award to none other than Charlie Kirk. Not exactly sure who's going to be there to receive it, but a top official from Turning Point USA will certainly be there. And we may be hearing from Erica Kirk as well. Tickets are $150. So you can go to our website, standamerica.us, that's standamerica.us, and you can contribute, you can buy a ticket, you can buy a table, you can sponsor at whatever level you choose. All the information is there. Thank you so much for your support. I'm pleased to say that since we've been doing this, American Family Radio, American Family Association, have been a sponsor of our Stand Awards dinner, and I'm grateful to Tim and Walker and the whole AFR family, frankly. So thank you all very, very much for your kindness and your support. We're trying to save this country, and I know in that sense we're coming right alongside American Family Association, American Family Radio, because that is exactly what AFA is doing, trying to save America. And you know what? We're going to get it done. In the name of Jesus, we're going to get it done. Now, speaking of that, I just want to give you a brief update. We held our Emergency Virginia Conservative Leadership Conference on Saturday morning. We had a good turnout, wasn't a packed house, but we had a good turnout. And we had some outstanding leaders. And I think we're going to basically try to do this again and keep trying to mobilize people. We can't quit. I'm told that on this referendum coming up on April 21st, which is being called by the Democrats, the Democrats, a referendum on fair elections will turn Virginia into a one-party state with 10 Democrat congressional districts and one Republican district. We now have 6 and 5, 6 Democrats, 5 Republicans, which is a change from what it was when I first came to Virginia 26 years ago almost now. But actually, I said 26. Actually, I take that back. 28 years ago. Folks, the summit and everything else we do focused here in Virginia is going to be to restore Virginia as a Judeo-Christian commonwealth, one of the founding states, really. In fact, I would argue the most important state in the founding of our country, because George Washington ran and won the Revolutionary War, became the first president, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, even going back before that, Patrick Henry with his electrifying "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death" speech at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. This state has really, really produced some outstanding American historical figures and has bequeathed to this entire country a legacy for which we should all be grateful. And I would ask all of you who are watching me and listening to me, no matter where you live, please do not write Virginia off. Please help us. Look, I'm told that the left is spending $26 million on this lying ad campaign, and it is a lie. It's not fair elections. It's about unfair elections, and it's about them taking complete control of Virginia as a one-party state. So this idea that, oh, well, it's, you know, this is about creating fair elections. That's a lie. I mean, it's a bodacious lie, a bold lie, a palpable, contemptible lie, an obvious lie for anybody who checks it out. But that's what they're going with. And they've got the nerve to accuse Donald Trump of having aspirations to be a dictator. Hitler said the bigger the lie, the more likely that people would believe it. And they're telling, the Democrats in Virginia are telling a great, big, fat, nasty lie. So anything you can do to help us now, to help us with this referendum or for the future of Virginia, directly, you can go to StandVirginiaPac.com. StandVirginiaPac.com. And you can give there. Okay. I went to fill up my gas tank late last week. And I was shocked to find, now, I use high-test gas because I have a truck, and it simply won't take lower-grade gas. I have to use top-tier high-test gasoline, but I paid over $5 a gallon, more than I paid really certainly since President Trump's been in office. Now, let me just say, because I look up what the people, what the left says about me on the internet, and it, you know, it's like very, very little of it is true. They'll tell you I'm a millionaire, I'm worth millions of dollars and all this. That is not true. I wish it were true, but it's not. My wife and I are not millionaires. I mean, thank God we do well, but we're not millionaires by any stretch of the imagination. So when I go and pay $5 a gallon for gas, believe me, folks, I feel it. Because I've gone from spending maybe when I fill up, and I almost never let my tank get too low, when I fill up $50, $40, I spent, of course, my tank had gotten fairly low. I was down to less than a quarter of a tank. And I spent well over $100 to fill up. Now, that's no fun. I brought that up to say this. As much as I believe that this Iran war is a necessary war, that Iran did in fact pose an imminent threat, we're told by intelligence agencies they were within 2 weeks of enriching enough uranium to buy about four bombs or to make about four nuclear bombs, and that they had to be stopped. The time had come. Now, you can believe that they're lying. I don't. I believe that they're telling the truth. But I realize that the leftists will never believe them, and frankly, I don't think they'd care if they did believe them, because you see that's they're not interested about the safety in the safety and security of the United States of America or its people. They are interested in absolute control. They would rather run the risk that America or Israel, for that matter, gets bombed into oblivion, but they still emerge to preside over it, to run it. They would rather take that risk than say, you know what, let's let's let the president do his job. Let's let him do what needs to be done. And we can argue about the merits later. We can argue about the process later. But right now, the president needs our support as Americans. No, it's not going to happen. So let me try to bring a note of what I hope will be encouragement. I said my wife and I are not millionaires. We have to pay that much for gas. We certainly feel it. However, I will admit to you that when I say we feel it, I mean, we know that there's more money going out the door for that particular purpose than had been before. But it's not as if it changes our lives. It's not as if we have to do without as a result. And there are people in that position. There are people who have to cut back on the amount of gas that they buy for their cars because it starts to cut into their food money or starts to cut into their rent money or whatever it is that they know they've got to pay. Now, thank God we don't have to face that kind of financial dilemma. But it's not that it means nothing to us, that's for sure. You know, for the billionaire, what would a billionaire care about paying $3 an hour, $4 an hour, and $5 an hour? It's peanuts. So that's where we are. And the question is, how do we as the American people respond to that? And I wanted to bring this up first because let me tell you where I stand on it. And then we can talk a little bit about what others are saying and doing and what you might decide to say or do. As much as I don't like paying more than $5 a gallon, and as much as I would wish that this war had not produced that result, I am sticking with President Trump. And I am hoping that he will be able to prosecute this war and bring Iran completely to their knees within a matter of weeks. I don't want to see boots on the ground. I don't want to see this become like Russia, the place where the armies of great nations go to die. Let's take every available resource we have and let's just basically just pound these people into the dust. And I say these people, I'm talking about the Iranian regime, not the people themselves. Ground them into the dust. Let's just get it done. Let's finish it. And if I have to pay $5 a gallon or $6 a gallon or $7 a gallon over the next 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, I'm not going to be happy about it, but it in no way is going to undermine my loyalty to the work of this president, because I think he is absolutely on the right track. And I'm not about to abandon him over it. I don't know that that's true for every conservative. I don't know that that's true for every Christian. I don't know that that's true for every patriot. But it's definitely true for me, and I hope it would be true for you too. How long will we allow this regime to threaten us, to threaten Israel? How long? I say the time to bring it to a stop is now. And we're well on our way to getting it done. Let's keep it up. Now, this war, just in some ways to me, like COVID, it brings out of people things heretofore hidden, things about them that you didn't know, didn't understand. I mean, so, for example, to listen to these Democrats speak in a way that suggests there is an equivalency between the United States and Iran. Well, they've done some things wrong. We've done some things wrong. It, to me, is about as silly as you can get. Well, I don't have any loyalty to the U.S. I mean, my loyalty is not just to my country. My loyalty is to the world. And how's this going to affect the planet? I mean, what? I'll tell you how it's going to affect the planet. If America were, God forbid, and I don't expect this to happen, but if America were to lose in one way or another to Iran, whew. Katie, bar the door. You talking about restricting people's movement, restricting their leadership? Oh my goodness gracious. Woo. If Iran can deliver any kind of devastating, victorious blow against us, the U.S., or against Israel, our enemies, when I say our enemies, I mean the people who are anti-Semitic, the people who are against America because they think we're somehow anti-Islamic. Those folks would just absolutely have a field day. You would think that if something terrible happens to our country, if God forbid, or something terrible happens to Israel in the midst of this, they're going to blame us. They're going to blame Israel. They're not going to say, these people are more wicked than we thought they were. Look at what they've done. No. They will side with Iran over the United States of America. Now, that's a sad commentary, and they'll justify it. Oh, well, you know, we're not really siding with Iran. And they'll give you some bogus explanation, but that's what it will boil down to. Because they have no sense of loyalty, certainly not to their own country. Because if they did, they wouldn't go overseas and say negative things about the United States of America to our friends, or for that matter, our enemies or potential enemies. They wouldn't do it. They would reserve whatever concerns they have for behind closed doors, because they would not want to undermine the vitality, the morale of our troops. They would not want to undermine their strength. They would not want to undermine their ability to get the mission completed. But the left has no such compunctions. They don't care what happens to you and me. They don't care what happens to our country as long as they can preside over it. You know, that famous line in Milton that he put in the mouth of the fictional satanic character that he created for the book. Better to reign in hell than live in heaven and serve in heaven. Better to reign in hell than have to serve in an America that is free and independent and has a vibrant population of people who are engaged and aware. They'd rather America be an absolute economic and societal basket case as long as they control it. So that's, folks, that is where we are. And by the way, it is interesting to observe that these pockets of resistance to our action can come from any direction, in any form. Like this guy who just resigned as counterterrorism chief because under the under the Trump administration, because he claimed there was no imminent threat to the United States of America. Well, you know, you wonder, what do these people want to have happen? Do they want to have a nuclear bomb dropped in America first? And will they then say, oh, you know what? I guess they really are dangerous. I guess we do have to do something. You want to wait until that moment? I mean, so look, we had our summit yesterday, and I said to folks, we've got to have a four-pronged strategy. One, we need a money strategy. We need a money strategy. A strategy. We are facing a situation where the Democrats are outspending us on this referendum 26 million to 5 million. That means they're outspending us by five times. For every dollar we spend, they spend five. And I'm asking you to help us, even the playing field at least, to get ads out there, to get a countervailing promotion going, where people at least see that there is a choice. If you want to send something to us, you would send it to Stan Virginia Pat, 1024 Centerbrook Lane, Suite F, as in Frank, -211, Suffolk, Virginia, 23434. Now, in case you missed any part of that, I'll try to come back to that later and share that with you, just in case. We have got to defeat, not walk away, leaving Iran in the same condition it was in and waiting then for a few more weeks to go by, and now we've got the same threat we're facing, and now we've got to start all over again. No. I think we have to devise a more long-term solution. Now, if the reports we are hearing are correct, then this new Ayatollah is sick himself. If the reports we are hearing are correct, he is sick himself. Again, what? And again, I don't dance on anybody's grave, but maybe he's not long for this earth. Maybe he's on, he is on a precipitous downslide. But either way, we cannot afford to leave our destiny in their hands. Does that make sense? We can't do that. We've got to keep our destiny as Americans, and to the extent that we have any influence, our allies, like Israel, like most of Europe, we have got to be prepared to do whatever needs to be done. I'm not talking about violence, but to do, and obviously I am talking about it when it comes to self-defense, but to do whatever needs to be done in order to be ready, as one of my favorite old songs says, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem, just like John. And we need to all be prepared for that. So I want to get that out there that, boy, these, and again, you may be in the neck of the woods where you're not experiencing this. If so, would you do me a favor? You can write me at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. That's ewjackson@ewjackson.com. And tell us what you're experiencing. Tell us what you see, what you're going through. But I've shared with you one of the things that is going on with me and how it looks. And frankly, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. I'm not talking about in terms of President Trump's prosecution of the war. I'm talking about the forces behind the scenes that are working to undermine him. That's why I said to the group of people that I was talking to at our Virginia summit, we really need to be prepared to take dramatic, peaceful, but dramatic action to reverse the situation we are in. I mean, right now, for example, the Democrats will not defund Homeland Security. They will not fund Homeland Security. Now, how can you, at a moment when we are facing who knows what kinds of threats with sleeper cells that are being activated in our country because they came over in the $15 million invasion, 15 million people invasion that we experienced. It cost us a whole lot more than $15 million. It cost us billions of dollars. But this 15 million people invasion that Biden engineered, I mean, we've got drug traffickers and gang members and terrorists and all kinds of people in this country who could help destabilize it. And the Democrats allowed them in. Well, some of those people are undoubtedly Iranian operatives. Some of them are undoubtedly Iranian operatives. And we got to contend with that. And we will. We will. These people think they're going to get away with this stuff, but they are in for a very rude awakening. They are not. They are not going to get away with it. Now, one of the things that we have got to look at is the degree to which the Democrats are cooperating with those who are trying to destabilize us from within. Now, look, they're never going to say, yeah, we don't care what kind of chaos, we don't care what kind of riots, we don't care what kind of problems people create in our country, because as long as we can turn it to our good, we don't really care. Now, they're never going to say that, but that's what they think. That's the way they really think. I mean, for example, there is a migrant. Let me see if I kept those. Yes, a Venezuelan migrant who just killed a New York teen who was in Chicago going to school there. Now, they haven't said whether this Venezuelan migrant is a citizen already or not. I haven't been able to find that in the news. But what we know is it is a Venezuelan migrant, and we know what's happening in Venezuela. So this 25-year-old suspect, and we don't know, because I think at the time that I am preparing this program, I don't think he's been apprehended. But more importantly, we have no clue what he thought he was doing. I mean, you know, and this is what undermines public confidence in the safety and security of our country. When people are doing these things and you don't even know why they're doing them. it sets things up for kind of anarchy. You just don't, you don't know what to expect. I'll tell you one thing, folks. All of this and my training as well has made me very, very alert in every situation, every circumstance. I'm kind of, if I'm out in the public, I'm casing things. I'm looking at people. I'm trying to observe. Do I see anything funny, anything weird, anything suspicious, anybody behaving in a way that I think could potentially pose a threat? Where are my barricades? Where are my covers? Where can I position myself and try to position others so as not to be victimized if something should pop off? I know you may think, you really think about all? I sure do. Because, folks, everybody this has happened to has probably thought, well, it won't happen to me. Yeah, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, it does happen. So we have got to be, the Bible says, walk circumspectly in the world, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And that's what we've got to do, walk circumspectly. That means we've got to see the panoply of things going on around us and be able to zoom in on something that doesn't seem right. Because look, these politicians, particularly Democrats, they don't care about the safety and security of the American people. We need to care about each other. I don't think they could care. They could care less. Some American citizen gets killed by some illegal alien, and they don't even want to talk about it. And in fact, if they talk about it at all, it's with these lame excuses. Well, you know, Americans commit more crimes than illegal aliens. Yeah, well, that doesn't do anybody any good. But when an illegal alien has been the perpetrator of a crime against you, please, I know you must think as I do, do not lecture me on how I should not seek to resolve that, see that person brought to justice, because American citizens, particularly white males, not to put too fine a point on it, because it's the way these people think, they commit more crimes than illegal aliens. So turn your eyes away from that illegal alien who just robbed, raped, murdered, and turn your eyes toward some American of European ancestry, because he is the real problem. Particularly if he's worked for the police force, he's worked for the army, he's worked for the armed forces in any way. Ooh, whoa, he's the problem. I mean, folks, this stuff is just, this is utter madness that we're dealing with. Madness. So we just need to hunker down now. I said at this summit, we need a three-pronged strategy. We need a money strategy, we need a masses strategy, and we need a messaging strategy. Very easy to remember, right? A money strategy, a money strategy, a masses strategy, and a messaging strategy. But here's what I didn't get to when I first mentioned that. All of that's got to be on a foundation of a spiritual strategy. We've got to root and ground and build whatever approach we take to taking back our state. And I think this is true for the country as well. A money strategy, a masses or grassroots strategy, and a messaging strategy, all on a foundation, all on a foundation of a spiritual strategy, of faith in God, of prayer, of adherence to the word. In other words, of Judeo-Christian values and principles. Because we need God to add his super to our natural so that we can get a supernatural result. Because that's what is really needed. It is not enough. It is not enough to try to recruit the best candidates and try to engage in all the political machinations, and it's not enough. It's not enough. We need God. We need God. He's the only one who can help us. You know, keep in mind, there is a major distinction between the way conservatives, in some cases, Republicans operate versus how Democrats operate. See, Republicans, again, are committed to persuasion. Democrats are committed to by any means necessary. They will use the power of the government if they can. Well, if they can't, they'll figure out another way. They will use the power of the spoken word. If they can't manipulate that, if they can't get that working, they will figure out another way. What they are committed to, again, is not the well-being of the citizenry. They are committed to their own well-being. That, forgive the pun, trumps everything. So the question is, as Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, I just shared with you in that four-prong strategy, three prongs laid on a bed or foundation of Judeo-Christian spiritual and moral principles. And the number one principle is complete reliance on Almighty God. That's it, number one. Complete reliance on Almighty God. Well, Bishop Jackson, you saying we shouldn't do anything because we're waiting on God? No. I'm saying you shouldn't get frustrated. You shouldn't get exasperated. You shouldn't beat your head against the wall because the things that you're believing for don't seem to be coming to pass. We just got to stay at it and believe God. Look, believe God to send the, if necessary, a metaphorical dragon to completely decimate the enemy. And I say metaphorical, of course. That imagery sort of came to me, but you get the point. Obviously, we're not looking to, again, I shouldn't have to say this, but for those people who are looking to try to put nasty words in my mouth, I am not talking in that metaphor about burning people up or, you know, anything like that. I'm using it as a metaphor for the unleashing of great power, but the power that I'm thinking of is spiritual power. Not just not just monetary power. Okay. Not just organizational power, Both good, by the way. Both have their place. You name it. You know, PR, power, all of these things, by the way, have a place. I hope you understand. I'm not saying, yeah, just forget about all that. We don't need that. We've got the Lord. No, faith without works is dead. So we need to gird ourselves, prepare ourselves with every possible tool available. Get your Bibles out. get in your prayer closet, and let's start tearing down some strongholds and let's start rooting up and tearing down, as God said to Jeremiah. Let's blow the roof off this thing in the name of Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of our God. I think if we're left to ourselves and we think, oh, we're smart people, you know, we'll get all this worked out. We'll not only lose the Commonwealth of Virginia, we'll lose our country like that. The Word of God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's how we continue our greatness. That's how we go from one level of greatness to another. That's how we become that shining city on a hill that Pastor John Winthrop saw. That's how we do it. And it must be done. It must be done. This country is too wonderful, too valuable, too tremendous a blessing to see it go the way of Baal or Ashtoreth or into some, any, you name any kind of idolatry, it all is the same. Ultimately, it all leads to nowhere. So, I trust, if you're in Virginia, obviously, I had somebody say to me, we need to make sure that people are going to turn out for the elections. Well, the elections are way off, but this referendum is on the ballot on April 6th, so you need to be there. You can go to my website, standvirginiapac.us, and say, hey, Bishop Jackson, I want to sign up to support the work that you're doing. Or you can go to... you can write to us, by the way, if you don't do the email. Write to us at Stand Foundation, Inc., Stand Foundation, Inc., 1024 Centerbrook Lane, and that suite F is in Foxtrot, -211. Suite F is in Foxtrot, or Faith, -211. And we're just going to... Oh, that, by the way, that's Suffolk, Virginia, 23434. Suffolk, Virginia, 23434. We are plowing ahead. We are plowing ahead. Now, if people want to talk about natural law, and what role that natural law plays in sort of righting the ship of state, getting us back on target. It's critical. I mean, in addition to raising money, in addition to having the masses mobilized, we have got to speak in a way that draws more people to us and that unleashes the power of God for us. You see what I'm getting at here? We really are in a pitched spiritual battle. I don't think I mentioned this right off the bat, but this guy, this counterterrorism chief who resigned, claiming that the threat of Iran was not imminent. I'm thinking, man, I don't know where you live. I don't know what you do. I'm at a loss. It was, I believe it's no longer is. I want President Trump to make it so it never is, if that were possible. Or if ever it were to be, it would be so far down the road, it would be an entirely different problem, an entirely different issue for an entirely different president and administration. But we can't sit on our hands and wait. We've got to be engaged. We've got to be involved. We've got to be active, and we've got to do it now. You know what? Last, but certainly not least, I want to mention that President Trump faces a problem that presidents of old, I'd say going back 50 years or so, did not face, which is while he is trying to prosecute this military action, there are people in our own country in what's considered to be a legitimate political party who have dedicated themselves to undermining a foreign policy effort by the president, which I don't know what they'll call this thing, but which is a conflict with Iran. We need unity. We need all hands on deck. We need everybody to understand what this is all about and to band together. And instead, what we are getting is the opposite. As the scripture says, my brethren and sisters, these things ought not to be. But unfortunately, they are. Because that's just the way things have worked out. There is no temptation which has befallen you, but such as is common to man. I mean, this is one of those things where when you're living in this life, this is what you're going to face. But God makes a way of escape that we can bear it. Or that, now that is, you know, that is beautiful. God is not the way into trouble. Now, of course, persecution comes from standing in obedience to God Almighty. But God is not he's not the problem. He's not the author. The author is the devil who is trying to resist what God is doing, because the devil wants chaos. The devil wants murder. The devil wants mayhem. The devil, I mean, you name it. That's his stock in trade. We need to focus on who we are and what God has done for us, said to us, and called us to. Now, I can't speak for you, but I can tell you I'm called to cry aloud, to spare not, to show the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, their sin and their iniquity. In our case, to show the house of America. We cannot sit idly by and allow the divine trajectory of this nation to be sabotaged and short-circuited, to basically have God's flight plan for us, if you will, turn into an ignominious crash. We just can't. And we won't. We will not. $5 gasoline or no? Listen, that's going to do it for me. I've got to go. But as always, it is a pleasure and an honor to be able to spend time with you and to share my thoughts with you. Believe it or not, I will be in Chicago for the next couple of days, so pray for me, because always when I go to Chicago, I always feel like I'm walking into a war zone. But pray for me, and I will be back to you either as a substitute on one of the daily radio programs or with my podcast, which posts every Wednesday. In the meantime, look, you know what to do. I don't even need to tell you at this point, do I? I'm sure I do not. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everyone.